it's getting serious. We got to get serious. And I remember when we realized that God was telling us to start a school to overcome this garbage that the public schools are teaching. If you're still sending your kids to public school, it's just a matter of time before they're indoctrinated. It's that simple. It's a murky, dark place. We need to pray for this nation. Father, your word has declared that we are strong in you and in the power of your might. And we stand on behalf of Carpentersville, Illinois, our nation, in the name of Jesus. I speak forth the word and declare that the hidden things are now revealed and the forces of darkness are exposed by the light of God and his word. By the power of Jesus' name, I bind every spirit that has attempted to infiltrate our government with darkness. You are rendered harmless and ineffective now in the name of Jesus. Our leaders have ears to hear, and they now follow the Good Shepherd, and the voice of a stranger they will not follow. Angels of God, forces of heaven, go forth and see to it that people, the right people, are moved into positions of leadership. By divine appointment, those who are called will fill their rightful place in our government, in our courts, in our schools, in our institutions. Those who are called will find their rightful place and fulfill the will of God. No weapon formed against this nation will prosper. In the name of Jesus, I speak peace, prosperity, and blessing, and call forth the will of God to be manifested now in Jesus' name. So be it. Amen. Amen. Praise God. You got to get ready to start breaking the stained glass windows out and getting out and do something dynamic for a living God. You know, religion will kill you. You know, this stuff, simsalabim and all that, religion will kill you. Jesus, you know, any religion can teach you lessons, but only Jesus Christ can give you eternal life. Amen. Amen. Well, praise God. We're closing out our series. Wow, time is slipping away, isn't it? Wow, we were talking about that the other day. We switched to a new coffee about 3 years ago. It's like this low-acid coffee. And we looked at it. Lori went, I said, we've been doing that, what, 6 months now? Or 3 years. 3 years ago we started that stuff. And it just seems like just a few months back. So time can get away from you. So make every moment count. You know, it says that time belongs to us to redeem. Jesus said, or the Apostle Paul said, redeem the time because the days are evil. And so if the days are evil, every moment counts. Get before God. Get your orders for the day and do them. You know, don't worry about the backlash. You know, I used to not write letters to Senator Durbin, if you can call him a senator. I don't know. He's abdicated all of his responsibility for you. It's all about him. And if you look at our government, many of these people have, it's their piggy bank. And they have amassed fortunes. I mean, Nancy Pelosi, after having been in Congress for, what, 40 years? Is worth like $400 or $500 million. Where did she get that on $100,000 salary? So you see, the corruption is so blatant now, and it's getting easier and easier for us to see, even right up to our president and over the last 50 years and what he has built this nation. So, and they say, you don't have any evidence for that. I do, and it's there. But when you got the FBI in there and all of the CIA and everybody covering up for them, it's hard. It's hard to come against because they're weaponizing these things against us. This is how Russia was overthrown and went into communism. This is how Germany, nobody said anything, especially the churches. Bonhoeffer said, when evil prevails, when good men do nothing.
Yep.
So I, when we got the word from the Lord to start that school, you know what we did? We did it. Right. And we knew we were right. Even when the first year we only had 3 students, right? And we're paying rent for a place. And you know, the question came, do we continue? And there wasn't even a question. Yes! We aren't going back. Well, we've got 18 students in there now, right? 18 students in there. And it's going to be multiplying because, you know, it's becoming obvious now. And people want their kids taught like math and science and geology and geometry and, you know, English. How's that? So we're finishing up our series of Compassion, the Open Door to Miracles. And, you know, our job is to have the compassion. His job is to provide the miracles. Our compassion for others, when we reach out and word compass, compass, you know, compassion. Put your arms around people instead of criticizing and hold them under. Yeah, we need to call what is. We can't say that pretend it's not there. And we need to address it, but we need to know how to do it lovingly. Jesus was a master at it. And the Apostle Paul, he was almost a master at it. But the thing is, he was committed to it. And when he was wrong, he was wrong. And when he was right, he was right. But the things that he wrote for us to follow came right from Jesus. Oh, I'm telling you, it's good. There are some qualities and attributes of God that are not easily understood, not easily communicated. They have to be caught. They can't really be taught. Jesus used parables to teach the undefinable, the things that were out of our grasp to really understand. And even then, after he would teach a parable, he would say, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And that says something to me. Jesus, you know, they tried, the Sanhedrin sent men out, temple guards, to arrest him one time, and they came back empty-handed when he was preaching right there in the temple. And they said, "Why didn't you bring him back?" And you know what they said? "No one ever spoke like this man." He was right there, God speaking right in their midst, giving them pearls from heaven. Just absolute seed that would produce harvest after blessing after blessing. And all they wanted to do was get rid of them. That's what religion does. It gives you man's wisdom, man's philosophy, man's religion, and whatever, in its limited connotation. The word of God sets you free. Paul told Timothy, preach the word. And so many have departed from it. Churches have gone woke, things like that. I'm privileged. You know, I was a rock and roll, drugged out musician back in the 70s. If I can get this, anybody can get it. So anyhow, compassion is one of these things that is hard to communicate. And if Jesus had a, if his words, his preaching, his teaching, his communications, if he couldn't break through people, and a lot of them, he couldn't. They were just not open to the truth. Then that tells me something. It's not so much in the preaching, the teaching, the communication. It's in the hearing. That's where faith comes, by hearing the word of God and doing it. So commit to do what you hear. Because if you commit to do what you hear, that's hearing. That's the kind of hearing that we need to do, that we need to have. The eyes and ears of our heart open and ready to do. Jesus said this in John 7, verse 17. He said, I think it's 17. It says, if any man will do the will of the Father, if any man will do, he'll know the doctrine I speak, whether it's of God or if it's of man. You've got to be willing to do it first. Willing to do it. That's what opens the door. That's what gives you a key. When you're willing to do it. In fact, I think it's the NIV says, if anyone will choose to do the will of the Father, then they will know that my doctrine is either of God or man. You got to be willing. If God says, I want to know if you're going to do what I ask you to do. The wrong response would be, well, what is it? No, you got to be willing to do his will first. Then he'll tell you. It's not like, well, you know, what is it, Lord? And then if you give me the option, I'll decide. It doesn't work that way. It does not work that way. There's no faith in that. Faith says, I trust you, Lord. Whatever you give me to do, I will do it. And it will be my honor to honor you by doing your word and your will. Then you're going to know. And then you're going to be empowered. And then nobody can touch you. Praise God. Nobody could touch Jesus until he willingly laid his life down. You notice that? You know, it was so hard. The devil tried to get into his business right and left. He had Pharisees that were there holding rocks in their robes. It was ready to stone him, you know what I mean? And but they couldn't touch him. He just walked right through the midst of them. And then all of a sudden, it got real easy when Jesus just let them be exposed to the devil and demonic and everything else. Then they came at him and arrested him. He had already willingly given himself over in the garden. There's a garden time. We need to understand there's a garden time for us of surrender. We can sing songs. I'm high on surrender. But unless you actually do surrender yourself to him, you're not going to experience the power of his love, the power of his compassion, and the miraculous supernatural nature, wonder, and works of God. That's when you're going to not just see his works, you're going to know him behind it, his person, his presence. So, compassion. Compassion. Let's just pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you for the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God. I declare the eyes of my understanding are being enlightened, flooded with light even now, so that I can know the hope that you've called me to, the power that you've called me to walk in, the inheritance that's mine, and the things that I can tap into. Lord, as I commit now to walk in the word that you have given me. Thank you, Father, that even as your word says that I have been raised up together with Christ to be seated with Christ in heavenly places, far above all principality, power, might, and dominion, in every name that is named, that I am have been placed, inserted into the body of Christ as a functioning organ, a functioning cell to give and receive and to receive and to give the life and the of the true vine, that I am a branch that will prosper because I have dedicated my future and I have committed to receiving and doing the word of God in Jesus' name. Write this down, James 1:22. Be therefore doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. Amen. Turn with me. In fact, let's do our weekly confession here first. Ready? Let's declare this together. This word is God speaking to me. This word is God's life being imparted to me. This word is God's incorruptible seed being planted in me. This word is God's authority being delegated to me. This word is God's blessing overtaking me. This word is God's ability empowering me. This word is God's counsel guiding me. This word is God's power of salvation to me. This word is God accomplishing in me that which pleases him. This word is God speaking to me. Right, Izzy?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, so good. Oh, praise God. Well, if you can't say amen, say oh me. It's all true. It might require a little work and a little attitude adjustment. God's good at that. Just do his word and things just fall in line. Matthew chapter 9, let's go there first. I want to look at several events in Jesus' ministry that accented his compassion. This is what I've wanted to get to all series here. I'm finally getting to it. But it says in verse 35 that Jesus went about all the cities and villages teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. You know, there's a lot of gospels out there. But it's the gospel of the kingdom that is the power of God. The gospel is the power of God. The gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with what? Compassion on them, because they fainted. That means they were weary and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. People were in need of direction. They were in need of hope being restored to them. They were in need of somebody of truth being ministered to them. They needed to know that God loved them. All of Israel received their image of God through the priesthood. And it was one of hardship, putting burdens on people. Jesus said, you put burdens on people that you wouldn't lift one finger to yourself. And you think you're so elite and privileged and you're laying all this stuff on them, but you don't do it yourself. And all the time the law says, do unto others as you would have them to do unto you. And they were giving God the image of a cruel, hard Victorian father. Demanding. And that's not what they need. They needed truth ministered to them. They needed to know that they were loved. And how is love expressed? Through compassion and compassionate deeds of kindness. And Jesus knew how to give kindness to people by meeting their needs. People have every right to expect their needs to be met by God. It's God who revealed himself as Jehovah Jireh, the Lord our provider. He desires and wants, it is his will to provide for you, to provide those things to you that you need. And not only that you need, but the things that you desire. What things soever you desire, Mark 11:24. What things soever you desire, when praying, believe you receive them and you shall have them. Amen. It's not a hide and seek deal. It's not if you have faith or whatever. No. What things soever you desire, when praying, believe that you take them and you'll have them. Have them. It's his desire to meet your needs. Your needs. Your needs. Everybody say this. Say this. I believe. God desires. And wants desperately. To meet my needs. And fulfill my desires. Amen. Amen. Verse 37, he continues, then he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into what? His harvest. Not to sow seeds, not to do the da 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 da. He's called you to reap where you haven't even sown. Do you know what a privilege this is? If you say, yes, I will labor for... This includes ministers, pastors, shepherds. It also includes volunteers. It includes hospitality. It includes administrations and everything. Man, I'm telling you something. You're missing out on everything if you don't get involved and start serving God in some capacity, because this is kingdom business. And kingdom business is eternal. And the rewards keep on multiplying in heaven. By the time you get there, you're going to find that, I did that. I did that. You know, God said something to David one time, or Solomon. Actually, David. He said it. David wanted to build the Lord a temple all his life. And the Lord gave that to Solomon, his son, to do. And Solomon built the temple. What he told David was this. He said, David, in that it was in your heart to do, you did well. David would have done it if he got the okay from God. But it was in his heart to do it. You got to understand, there are things in your heart to do that if God gives you the green light, just go ahead and do them. Don't be concerned. Like I was starting to say earlier, I was going to write letters to Dick Durbin and say, this is terrible, this is evil, this da 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 da. But you know what? I didn't do it. And I repent of it. I repent of that. Because I didn't, you know, the way our government is now, it's so corrupt and crooked. I didn't want him, I'm putting this on the record now, I didn't want him to launch some kind of an audit for me, an IRS audit, and have them besiege me with all this stuff. I have all the records. I mean, they can have them. But that's what I feared reprisal. You know what? I am not going to fear reprisal from this moment on, ever. Ever! Give it your best shot. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to obey God and do what God says. Thank you, Leah, for that nudge. Praise God. But I've repented of that. God's ministers, pray for God's to send forth laborers into the harvest. These are men from Exodus chapter 18, I believe it is, verse 17, where Jethro was telling Moses, get men, able men, men of truth, who fear God and hate covetousness. Oh, we could use that in our government, couldn't we? Men who hate covetousness. You know, you got to get violent against it. It's one thing to really want to walk, but it's another thing to hate unrighteousness. And it says about Jesus that he loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Hated it. Mostly because he sees what it does to you. But he hated it because it was defying God, his Father. So pray. And our prayers are what give God avenues to do that. He made an appeal to us to come to him and ask for laborers. Why wouldn't he fulfill that? Ask yourself these questions sometime. And ask him to send able men, men of truth, who fear God, who despise, who hate covetousness. So that's praying. You see, compassion. Jesus had compassion on them because they were sheep having no shepherd. Pray the Lord of the harvest that he send forth. You know, it's the compassion of God that provides ministry and ministers. Praise God. And then he gives us the skin of a rhino. Because no matter what, you're going to get criticized. Know that going in so that you don't get hurt on the way out. If you're going out. Anyhow, better men than me have left the ministry, have gone out. Matthew chapter 14, let's go there. And verse 14 says, and Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with what? Toward them and what? Healed their sick. You know, I think one of the major reasons that people fail to receive healing from the Lord is that they haven't really hooked in, they haven't really dialed in and connected with the compassionate heart of God. You know, one of the 30 reasons why we know that it's God's will to heal is because of the love of God, the compassion of God that triggers his ability to come in and bring healing into their lives. You got to understand something. God loves you. And you may feel like you're lost in the shuffle among millions of people who are our believers and everything. But you got to ask yourself something. Why is it that the majority of them fail to receive healing in their bodies? Why is that? You're not going to receive answers from them or other people. You're going to receive answers from the Word of God. And when you hook into that compassionate heart of Jesus, you're going to wonder, where have I been all my life? Where has, you know, where, he's there all the time. He's been there all the time, praying for you, interceding, mediating the covenant for you, making it available to you. It's there to take. It's there. It's you have a covenant with God. Actually, it's you are the beneficiary of the covenant that God made with Jesus. And as a beneficiary, it belongs to you. The will of God is that you be healed. That will and the provisions of that will was released when Jesus died. The testator died and the will went into force and everything is yours. All the promises of God in him are yes and in him, and they are living because his will was activated when he died on that cross. Praise God. Compassion. So hook in to the compassion of God. That doesn't mean to be lazy and excuse yourself for making mistakes. No. If you failed, 100 billion failures disappear. Right. Yes. Oh. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. You know, you may not feel healed, but that doesn't discount you from receiving healing. You know, do you feel saved all the time?
No.
But you are, right?
Yes.
1 Peter 2:24 gives you a new identity. It tells you who you are. It tells you you are the healed. It says himself bear our sickness, our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes, when he was at that whipping post, by whose stripes you were healed. Not you might be or will be sometime in the future. That provided it the same way he provided salvation when he died on that cross and rose from the dead. Those, it's done. It's finished. The devil can't do anything about it. Come to that and say, those are the stripes that he took for me. This is a legal transaction. Devil, you have no legal right to minister sickness to my body in the name of Jesus. None! Get this way. You got to get this way. And with joy I declare that you are a defeated foe and that you must leave my body. What the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. It has been indicted, tried it, and found guilty. It cannot be in your body. Sin in the flesh is cancer, disease, sickness, heart failure, kidney disease, all of it. It's all been condemned from the highest court in heaven and released is healing. Released it, just the same way he released salvation when he rose from the dead. It's the same thing. Oh, yeah. Whoa. Praise God. Compassion. So we got shepherds and we got ministers, administrators, we got volunteers, we got all of this stuff. Now we got healing through the compassion of God. Turn to Matthew 15. I'll get through this. Then Jesus called his disciples in verse 32, I think it is. And he said, I have compassion on the multitude because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat, and I will not send them away fasting lest they faint in the way. Jesus called and said to them, I have compassion on the multitude. Okay, so now they heard the word, and if he sends them away, he says they faint or they'll grow weary on the way. And what happens? What happens to the word? After people hear the word, what does the devil do? He tries to steal it. How? With persecution. Affliction, the cares of this life, and the closer they get to home, the closer they get back to the problems that have been ministering to them. The closer they feel to those problems, and the less they feel closer to God. So what did he do? After they heard the word, he provided food. He took seven loaves and a few fishes, and multiplied them, said fed like 5,000 people, right? Or 5,000 men.
Right.
If you count the women and children, it's probably 15,000. They didn't count the women back then. How do you girls feel about that? Well, you're one with your husband, so you count. If you don't count, he don't count.
We don't talk about it till then.
Right. Cancellation. do over. King's X. Where was I? So what he did, he kept them there for a while so they could fellowship a little and fellowship in the word that they just heard. And just, isn't it amazing what we just heard and what we can do and what's available for us and how God loves us and how he's a God of peace and he empowers us? This is so empowering. And he got them fellowship. This is why every Sunday in our cafe we have fellowship. You need to fellowship these things. You need to respond by speaking. And it gives you a platform to do that. And you're with people that are very forgiving, very loving, and very helpful. And they're not there to criticize you. You can speak your mind. Amen? And you know what? Just like prophecy or anything, if it's wrong, we'll correct you. If you're willing to be corrected. Now, that's another whole sermon.
Right.
It really is. But Jesus wanted them to identify with him as a provider, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Yireh. Amen. That's the way he wanted them to. And speaking of identity here too, did you know the first attack that the devil ever launched on Jesus was against his identity? If you're the Son of God, if. Jesus could have said, what do you mean if? Come on. What do you mean by that? No, he didn't say anything about that. He didn't. You know why? He did not do anything because he was the Son of God. He laid his deity and all his mighty power aside. And he was a man just like you and just like me. And he was everything that God the Father is. But he's just as human as you and me. That doesn't mean he ever sinned. He didn't sin. I'm saying spirit, soul, and body, he was a man just like you and me. And he used the gifts of the Holy Spirit to put the devil under his feet and rise above him, go to the cross, finish it, and rise from the dead. He didn't miracles because he was the Son of God. That would have disqualified him from being your Savior. It would have disqualified him from being your substitute because it had to be a man who went to that cross to die for mankind. And because the blood in him was eternal blood, it was the blood of the Father, it covered everything from Adam to the last person who would ever be saved. It's all inclusive. It's eternal. This is where we're getting into the crux of the gospel here, and it all has to do with compassion, because all this stuff releases God's compassion for us. The number one target of the enemy is your identity. You need to identify with who you are, not who you were. Yeah. That is a process that you have to keep on. Those thoughts, you need to put those in the grave. Get them back in the grave. Get back there. Get back there. You know, Smith Wigglesworth put it. This lady had this. She went out the front door to get the bus, or the trolley, I think it was, in London. And the dog would follow her out. And she says, no, get away. Well, finally, the bus started coming, or the trolley started coming down the street. And she said, get! And the dog went, beep, 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 back in the house. And Smith Wiggle said, yeah, that's what you got to do the devil. Wait, that's how you got to do him. Get! Stamp your feet, lift your voice, and command.
Yes.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Every hunger and desire that you have in your life can be satisfied by hooking in with the compassion of Jesus.
Amen.
Hunger, healing. You need a pastor, you need a minister, you need somebody, a laborer come alongside of you. every need can be hooked into and applied and received. He is the one who is from the beginning, who we have heard, who we have looked upon and seen and handled of the word of life. Turn to Matthew 27. I'm going to close with this one, I guess. I have a lot more, but I wanted to talk about how compassion will deliver you from hopelessness, terminally ill, rejected, deliverance, all this kind of stuff. But I want to go into this because this is a big problem in the church. In verse 21 in Matthew 27, it says, verse 21, do I have the right one?
It's not what you gave me before.
Okay.
20 maybe?
Yeah, might be 20. Matthew 20. I have 18:27. Oh, 18:27. 18. No, Matthew chapter 20. I'm sorry. I get it. I'll read it to you. How's that? Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? And the Lord said, I do not say unto seven times, but up to 70 times seven. I don't know at this point. I wrote something wrong down here. But I think it's in Matthew 18. If my memory serves me correctly. Matthew 18.
21.
I wrote down the wrong thing. I finally made a mistake. True. How about you? You made some Lulus too, haven't you? And I blew it right out of the water several times. Oh, dear. Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? And the Lord said, I say not to you seven times, but 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold, that his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. His wife and kids, everything, you know. Verse 26, the servant therefore fell down before him saying, Master, have patience with me and I will pay you all. And the master of that servant was moved with what? Compassion. Released him and forgave him the debt. But the servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. That's about 2 months, 3 months, something like that. Wages. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat saying, pay me what you owe. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him saying, have patience with me and I will pay you all. But he would not. But went and threw him in prison till he should pay the debt. And when his fellow servants saw what he had done, they were grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. And the master, after he had called him, said, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he paid all that was due him. Something interesting I found here. It was according to the New Knaves Topical Bible. One who possessed 5 talents of gold or silver was a multimillionaire in today's standards. Some calculate the talent of the parables to be equivalent to 20 years of wages for the common worker. The weight of 1 talent varied from 20 to 40 kilograms, and at the international price of gold, in June of 2018, a talent, which is 33 kilograms, would have been worth about 1 $400,116.57. Almost a million and a half. One talent. 10,000 talents would be over $14 trillion. Now, this guy had to be some kind of a rich guy, because who would loan somebody $14 trillion in the first place? The thing is, it was a debt that could not have been ever paid off if he lived 1,000 lifetimes and labored the whole time. He couldn't ever repay it. Could you imagine what would happen? And it says, I forgave you because you begged me. And not just gave him time. He wiped the whole thing out, erased it, dot it. There's no debt ever. And he erased the whole thing and forgave him the debt. I don't think there's any human being in the world that has ever done that. Well, Joe Biden came close to it with the college things, but the tuition deals. But $14 trillion? Just forget, because he begged. Can you imagine if you never asked the Lord to forgive you? I mean, think of all of the disobedience you've done, the rebellion in your life, the self-willed attitudes, all of the failures. I mean, you could go on and 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 on. Rebellion, iniquity, transgression, disobedience, double-mindedness, stiff-necked rejection of God's counsel, your covetousness, lust, and greed. Can you imagine the insurmountable payment? Yet one drop of that blood wiped it all out and deleted all of the memory banks of heaven that the devil could ever use to accuse you. How do you think we ought to approach others once we have been forgiven that amount? The compassion of God. We need to develop that compassion. It's real. It's not just a concept. This is a real thing. This is something that activates, that opens up doors to miracles, that opens up doors to receive the power of God. You know, and if you feel like these things are thudding against a dead heart or something like that, you're the one that can open that up. You're the one that can say, Lord, I'm done with that. I open up to you. I'm only living so long, 70, 80, 90, however long you want to live, up to 120 is guaranteed by God. Anything more than that, you can get by your faith. You know? Now, in Psalm 90, it says 85 years. People say, no, sure. No, that was directed towards a stiff-necked, rebellious people who said, you brought us out here to kill us. You brought it, and they were in the wilderness. And they started, and so God says, yeah, okay, then 85 years, you're done. And every one of them died in the wilderness, never reached the promised land. So you can get 120 if you want it. Start working out. A leper came to Jesus in Mark chapter 1, verses 40 through 42. And there came a leper beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying to him, if you will, you can make me clean. Jesus moved with what? Compassion. Put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will. Now, is Jesus a respecter of persons? No. He asked, and God gave it to him. He said, I will. Be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him and he was cleansed. You can be hopeless at the end. And Luke 5 says that this guy was full of leprosy. That means he was in the end stages of leprosy. I mean, that had to be a sight. Guy's nose falling off and his fingers and wrapped up. And he must have been in pain and agony. And he said, if you will, you can make me clean. Nowadays, we know what his will is, so we don't have to say, if you will. We just come and say, Lord, I know that you died. I'm asking you to fulfill your word in my life. I declare that I am healed according to your word. So, hopelessness, terminal illness, How many times did the doctor say, there's nothing that can be done? That's a lie. Turn to Mark chapter 9. I didn't put this in there, Stephen, so don't throw tomatoes. Mark chapter 9, I think it's verse 23. He said to the guy, he brought his son to the disciples and they couldn't do anything for him, so he brought it to Jesus and he said, you know, your disciple, I brought him to you, they couldn't do anything, but if you can do anything for us, have compassion on us. If you can do it, and Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes, right? And the father said this straightway. He said, he cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. In other words, he didn't know how to believe. He wanted to believe. He had faith, but he also had unbelief. And a lot of times people say, are you saying I have no faith? No, I'm saying you have faith, but you just got a lot of unbelief that's canceling out the power of your faith. And you can't have this double-mindedness in your life. You can't have this, you know, a double doubt. I mean, it's spelled D-O-U-B-T, double doubt. It means to be of two opinions or two minds, and you can't settle on anything. And if you can't settle on anything, you can't receive, because faith eliminates all questions. If there's a question in your mind, then it's not faith. So straightway the father cried out and said, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. And he just cast the thing out right there. All he needed to say was, I believe. You see how gracious and how compassionate God is? In fact, turn over to Mark 10. Talking about hopelessness and term. Look at verse 27. And Jesus, looking upon them, said, with men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. So a doctor tells you there's nothing that can be done. Alarms should go off on the inside. You can say this. No, with you, it's impossible. Jesus already said that. With men, it's impossible. But not with God, for all things. You can be on your deathbed. You can be terminal. You can be totally rejected by people who won't have anything to do with you. This is a leper. I mean, nobody would have anything to do with him, right? Not even a doctor. And when you're in a terminal, the doctors don't even want to be around you. No, nobody wants to be around you when you're terminal, right? God doesn't. Doesn't matter to him. He'd be with you all the time. Yeah. He'll be with you. If I make my bed in hell, he's there. So, look, he will never leave you or forsake you. And he is always filled with power. Hallelujah. Always filled with healing. Amen. Always filled with the power to expel and to lift you up. Amen. And out and over your trial. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah to Jesus. Hallelujah to Jesus. Ask God to forgive you. Ask God and see if that $14 trillion debt that couldn't be paid ever just be wiped out. And that gives the devil nothing. He doesn't have any more firewood to burn on, you know, against your conscience, against your soul. He doesn't have any accusations, not any legal ones. He may accuse you and accuse you and accuse you and bring up the past, and that's only one more opportunity for you to say, you know what, devil? You're climbing up the wrong tree. My past is gone. That thing is wiped out by the blood!
Amen.
And he hears that, he's gone.
Amen.
He hears that, he's gone. Are you ready to get violent with this? Are you ready to get passionate and compassionate with others about this and let them know how much God loves them, how important they are to him, how valuable and how precious they are to him? Really, folks, this, and there's a lot of people who will help you hate them. They'll give you a lot of help in that direction. But we're bigger than that, aren't we?
Amen.
We're bigger. We are complete in Him, and we have nothing to give but love because we have emptied ourselves of all that other stuff. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that it will not return void. It'll accomplish that which you sent it to do. Lord, we stand in awe of your grace, your mercy, your compassion, your love, but also we stand in awe of your ability to back up that compassion with power and might from heaven. Thank you, Lord, that you are in us to will and to do of your good pleasure and empower us with truth, with health, with wealth. We thank you, Father, that you are a God who supplies every need. In Jesus' name. You're dismissed. If you need prayer for anything else, please come up. Our altar ministers will take care of you. There's fellowship in the cafe. Like I said, we want to get to know you a little bit and fellowship with you and give you a chance to just fellowship around the word and lock the doors to the devil. Amen. Praise God. We love you. And we'll see you Wednesday night for Healing University. And